Thought Thomas was giving me an intro there. You know, the Feast of the Ascension is probably one of the most least understood feasts that we celebrate, and that we celebrate in the life of Jesus and in the life, or in the events, in the plan of God's salvation for us. So we have to ask the questions, does the Feast of the Ascension of Jesus, which we do celebrate today, affect our lives in the here and now? Is it only the commemoration of an event that occurred 2,000-some-odd years ago? Sort of, an intermission in the ministry of Jesus until he returns? Or could it help unlock the meaning of our lives right now? Does it point to the plan of God for the entire created order? Is it what we call, or might want to call, a portal or a window to eternity? The answer to all these questions is yes. The ascension of Jesus does reveal the meaning and the purpose of our lives and points to the plan of God for the entire created order. And all of this has to do with the mission of the church and our participation in that mission today. When the cloud lifted Jesus up and took him from their sight, he didn't leave his apostles, and he didn't leave us either. He faithfully continues his loving, redemptive plan for all of creation through his body, the church. The same church we became members of through the waters of baptism when we were incorporated into the life of Jesus Christ. Now, St. Augustine once wrote, "Where the head is, there is the body. Where I am, there is my church. We two are one. The church is in me, and I in her." You can see that oneness there. So this should remind us that it's the head and the body united that make up the one Christ. So in other words, we ascended with our Lord. When Jesus ascended, we ascended with him. Because again, we are united to Christ. He has united us to him. He is the head and we are the members of his body. We cannot be separated. We live in Christ by living in his body, the church, and we are called to live in the heart of this church for the sake of the world that we are in. Pope St. Leo the Great reflected on the joy the disciples experienced on that glorious day when he wrote, "That blessed company that had a great and inexpressible cause for joy when it saw man's nature rising above the dignity of the whole heavenly creation, above the ranks of the angels, above the exalted status of the archangels." Both Augustine and Leo point us to the deeper meaning of this feast today. The ascension does not mark the end of Jesus' relationship with his church, but the beginning of a new way of his relating to the world that we live in. And he does this in and through his church. It is a way that includes every one of us who bear the name of Jesus and therefore participate in his own divine life. So the ascension should be to us that powerful reminder of who we are now in Christ Jesus and how we are to live our lives in this world today. As members of his church, we are blessed to be welcomed into deep communion with the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And from that, empowered and sent out into this world to work alongside Jesus, our Lord, in bringing others into that same communion, again, through his church. This is the redemptive mission of Christ, which was not completed on the cross. That was the critical step toward its completion. It is the ascension, what we celebrate today, followed by the outpouring of that power from on high, the Holy Spirit, that we celebrate next weekend, that put this mission into hyperdrive. A mission that will be completed only when Jesus returns and hands the recreated world back to his Father. So, as members of his church, we're not here just for the scenery and for the ride. When Jesus ascended to the Father, again, we ascended with him and are now called to begin to live and to manifest on this earth in our day-to-day lives, in our homes, in our workplaces, our schools, wherever we are, the very realities of heaven and the kingdom that is to come. I began this homily with some questions, and so here's another one. What are the realities of heaven and the kingdom to come that we are to live and manifest in our daily lives? Well, given the condition of our world today, and most especially our own country, the answer to that lies in what we'll be proclaiming in just a few minutes in our creed. I believe in God, the Father, the Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord. That is the first reality we need to witness to, because for some reason, much of the world today has forgotten that. It's what is called a first principle, the foundation of all others that follow after that. St. John Paul the Great wrote that when one loses the critical sense of God and who he is, one inevitably loses that critical sense of one's own self and who he is. There's certainly a lot of that happening in our world today. We just don't seem to know who we are anymore. So from this first principle, we need to manifest two other realities: the true character of God, who is mercy itself and wants all to be saved, and his plan for the whole of creation. But in order for us to do that, we need to know what our church teaches about this and how it applies to our world today. It's great that we come here for Mass, some of us daily Mass, and we read our scriptures. But we need to read deeper and deeper into what our church teaches concerning all of the things that are happening in our world today, because we, again, have been empowered to be the witnesses of what our Lord wants us to spread in this world, which is his good news. People are truly, truly hungry for this today. Disorder and chaos do not reflect who and what we truly are. So in closing, I'd like to say Happy Mother's Day to all of our mothers here today for saying yes to motherhood as you did. That is at the top of the list when it comes to witnessing to what the church's greatest witness in this world is, and that is the sheer goodness, beauty, and truth of life itself.